Blog Talk Radio.
Gospel Goal. I am your host, Reverend Michael Rogers. I am so very glad you have joined us tonight here on Gospel Goal. Gospel Goal is on every Monday night from 9 to 10 p.m. every Monday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is a program that is dedicated to the historical preservation of traditional African-American gospel music. We thank God for you being with us tonight. We pray that you will enjoy our program tonight. Gospel Goal is not just another music program, but again, as I said before, we believe that all of the Music that we have produced on these American shores has its root in traditional African-American gospel music. Of all the lavish gifts that Africa has given the world, the most unique is the combination of religion and rhythm. It is rhythm that drives the music here in America. It was work songs and field hollers. These were the first recorded sounds of our people, and from there came spirituals and gospel and jazz, rock and roll, and even rap that we have today. It's a story of a people through their adversities who have overcome to excel to great achievements. We say that, we sing it in our songs, we say it in our poems, we read it in our books. It's all about the African-American experience. We believe that all the music that we have produced on these American shores has its root in traditional African-American gospel music. That is our format here at Gospel Gold. This is not just another music program. I am not a DJ, but we come together every week for 1 hour to bring forth the great achievements that our people have made in the gospel field genre. If you are a lover of gospel music, we invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there to the Gospel Gold Facebook page. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that Gospel Gold is on the air. There on the Facebook page, you'll find some of the music that we play here on Gospel Gold each week. You'll find articles on various gospel artists, and you'll also find the link for the program each week. Because all of the programs here on Blog Talk Radio are archived, you have to go there every week to find the link for that particular week program. You'll also find programs that we have recorded in the past. We're in our second season here at Gospel Gold, so we ask you to go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that Gospel Gold is on the air. We thank all of you for your great support that you have given us over the last few months while we were doing Gospel Gold. We pray God's blessing that you have enjoyed the program thus far. We have a very interesting program for you tonight. We hope that you will enjoy it. As we do before we always start our program, we always start in prayer. If you don't mind, pray with me. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this medium. We pray, God, that something be said or something be played tonight that will encourage your people to keep on giving you the praise. This we ask in your name, amen and amen. I'm going to play a song, then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about our program for the night. Here is Mahalia Jackson, How I Got Over.
How did I make it over? You know my soul back in wonder. How did I make it over? How I made it over? Going on over all these years. You know my soul back and wonder, how did I make it over? Tell me how we got over, Lord. Had a mighty hard time coming out over. You know my soul back and wonder, how did we make it over? Tell me how we got over. I've been falling and rising all these years, but you know my soul, so back and wonder, how did I make it over? But soon as I can see the man that died. I'm gonna thank God for
Live in the studio tonight. If you would like to speak to us live here, you can call in. That number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. By way of announcement, we want to turn you on to a program called the Black Reality Think Tank. It comes on every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time. Those of you who are in other time zones, please do the math. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time. You'll find it on the timeforawakening.com website. You're looking for the Black Reality Think Tank. There you will have a program that discusses the pertinent issues of the African-American community at large. So go there each Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. The Black Reality Think Tank. Tonight, our program is the Gospel, the History of Gospel, Part 2. Last season, we did Part 1. And we always, during the course of the season, go back to the very beginning, at least a couple of times during the season, because we don't want you to forget the humbleness of this genre and the great achievements that we have made in it. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the music that we hear today that we forget how it started and where it came from. And tonight we wanted to do part two of the history of gospel. There are a couple of documentaries that were out. Some came out in the early 90s. One came out 2011. But they're both very great and good documents that document the history of traditional African-American gospel music. The first one that we're going to hear tonight, we're going to play just a few excerpts from these documentaries. It's called The Slave Songbook, or The Origin of the Negro Spiritual. It was recorded back around 1996 or 97. So it's been out for a very, very long time. You can find it on YouTube, or you may be able to find it on your various other devices that you may have. But it's called The Slave Songbook, The Origin of the Negro Spiritual. We're going to play a little bit of that tonight because in my introduction every Monday night, when we come every Monday night, we celebrate Black history every week here on Gospel Gold. And when I do my introduction every Monday night, I always say that it was work songs and field hollers. These were the basic elements of the spirituals. When I say that, I'm telling you about the history of where all of that came from. And tonight I wanted to just play an excerpt from this documentary, The Origin of the Negro Spiritual, The Slave Songbook. And you'll only hear it here on Gospel Gold.
By 1860, there are roughly 4 million enslaved Africans in the United States. Forcibly transplanted to a new land, they've brought with them a rich African heritage, including songs. Adapted to reflect the experiences of a life of hard labor on plantations, these slave work songs, laments, and shouts of protest evolve into a new musical form, the spiritual. The spiritual will in turn become the wellspring for generations of musicians who will create the blues, gospel, jazz, and the protest songs of the 1960s. Now, Avery Clayton of Los Angeles, California, believes he may have discovered a vital link to this important music.
I was just going through some boxes in my mother's collection and came across this book and noticed the date and read the first paragraph, and I knew that it was something special.
Avery?
Hey, Wes. How you doing?
Good. Good to see you.
Come on in.
Thank you.
Sure. So this is our Black Hollywood hallway.
Wow, you've really come a long way since last year.
Last year, Gwendolyn Wright met with Avery to investigate an intriguing autograph book with ties to the Harlem Renaissance. That book was just one part of a huge collection of African-American artifacts Avery's mother, Mamie Clayton, accumulated over her lifetime. Now that the collection has moved into a new museum in Culver City, California, tens of thousands of artifacts are finding a home.
So Avery, what do you got for me?
Well, I have a book that I found, and it's a collection of African-American spirituals.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's take a look at this. Slave Songs of the United States. Wow, published in 1867.
Yeah, 2 years after the end of the Civil War.
What do you know about the book?
Well, very little. You know, there is something that caught my attention, and it's in the first paragraph. If you don't mind, I'd like to read it to you.
Okay.
The musical capacity of the Negro race has been recognized for so many years that it is hard to explain why no systematic effort has hitherto been made to collect and preserve their melodies. And it got me to thinking, could this be the first book of Negro spirituals published in the United States?
And that would be a really interesting thing. Sounds like that's your question, in fact.
Well, that's one of my questions. And then I also want to know, you know, who were the people who collected this music? You know, what was their motivation?
This is a really fascinating story, and okay. I'm ready to get going.
Okay, fantastic.
You know, I've sold hundreds, if not thousands, of 19th century books, and this has a publication date of 1867. The binding, the printing style, everything is typical of the period. But what's unusual is that the title page lists no authors or editors. Let's see if I can find them. Oh yeah, there we are. William Francis Allen, Charles Picard Ware, Lucy McKim Garrison. The book is a collection of 136 songs with music and lyrics. You know, I recognize some of the songs that are here, like Roll Jordan Roll. Here's Michael Row the Boat Ashore. Most are songs I've never heard before. Many express a hope for redemption in the life beyond. Bending knees a-aching, body racked with pain. I wish I was a child of God. I'd get home by and by. The editors took great care to record the words in phonetic English just as they heard them. But I'm not finding any information on the publisher. An online search shows that Avery's book has been reprinted many times and remains in print today. Oh, look, here's one from 1960, 1929, 1962, 1992. A popular work, but nothing to indicate if this was the first collection of spirituals. I'm at Howard University in Washington, D.C. to meet Dr. James Norris, professor of music and director of the Howard Choir. Dr. Norris has long known about this book and says its songs are deeply personal.
My granddad was a Baptist preacher. I heard them sung authentically all my life, and they're just right here in my heart.
To the enslaved African, what did these songs mean?
These songs were everything. He had to sing about his condition. Being sold, his family being separated, he had to sing to keep his frame mental bearing.
He tells me that plantation owners often forced enslaved Africans to attend church to hear the message of Christianity, a message that missionaries carefully tailored to justify slavery. But the enslaved men and women took this new language and created their own spirituals. Songs that often contain coded meanings, bringing messages of hope and sometimes visions of escape.
Roll, Jordan, roll, Jordan, roll, Jordan, roll.
Roll, Jordan, roll. Jordan was what? A river you had to cross. Okay, that could have been what? The Mississippi River, the Tennessee River, crossing into a better place. Old Satan was the slave master. Hell was being what sold further south.
So in spite of the fact that the words were actually biblical, their meanings were very personal.
Dr. Norris explains that even though the words were from Christianity, these songs have their roots in Africa, where music was infused into every aspect of life. In the Americas, the enslaved Africans were forced to adapt.
They weren't allowed to use instruments they brought with them. They took them from them. So what, they improvised what? Hand clapping on the side of the horse. Improvised. I look at them and I marvel over how we got through all of this, but how we got through it all by what? Singing.
No more Pentecost for me. No more, no more. And no more driver's lash for me. Many thousand go.
It was the enslaved Africans' work songs that gradually evolved into the blues and formed the backbone of virtually every American music form created in the 20th century, including jazz, rock and roll, and hip-hop.
So, Dr. Norris, is this book the first book of slave songs?
It is the first large collection
Yes, a slave song, because others were published individually, like three and four at a time. That's great. And some very important collection.
So who were the individuals responsible for collecting this extraordinary music? I'm at California State University, Dominguez Hills, to meet Hansonia Caldwell, a music professor emeritus and the author of books on the African-American spiritual. She recognizes Avery's collection right away.
Those of us who are involved in the field of spirituals know this book because it's the first.
Now, these three people, who are they? Do you have any information about them?
Well, yes. I have some information about them in the back here. So, yes, this is William Francis Allen. He was a Harvard graduate and a student all over Europe, came back and eventually became a university professor.
And who's this?
This is Charles Picard Ware, who is the younger cousin of William Allen and also a Harvard graduate. Most of the songs that are in the book are from his collection.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Lucy McKim Garrison. Lucy is from Philadelphia. She was a pianist and a violinist and a piano teacher. She's the only musician in the group.
Dr. Caldwell tells me that Allen, Ware, and Garrison were all committed abolitionists who'd worked before and during the Civil War to destroy the institution of slavery.
The people who are pro-slavery are espousing a philosophy that says that the people that are being held in enslavement are not human beings. So one of the things that abolitionists were doing was trying to document the cultural voice of the African as a way of affirming the humanity of the African.
She explains that in the 1860s, most Americans' exposure to the music of enslaved Africans was through minstrel shows, degrading parodies of slave life written by whites and performed by whites in blackface.
They were determined to say that Africans were happy as slaves, which was a nonsensical statement, but that was how they were portrayed on the stage.
Dr. Caldwell says that after emancipation, many freedmen wanted to leave the music of slavery far behind. The fact that Avery's book has preserved over 100 of these songs is incredibly significant.
It would have been possible to actually lose all of these songs. So the fact that they are still with us is really incredible.
One thing perplexes me. If our abolitionist editors did compile these songs during the Civil War, how had they gotten the cooperation of Southern plantation owners who were surely hostile to their political goals? I'm meeting someone who knows all about collecting America's original music, Library of Congress archivist Todd Harvey, a librarian with the Folklife Collection.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Wes, good to meet you.
Good to see you.
He wants me to hear a song collected by a visionary folklorist named John Lomax. It's an early recording of Roll, Jordan, Roll.
Oh, Roll, Jordan, Roll. Oh, Roll, Jordan, Roll. Lord, I want go to him when I die. Do you speak, Jordan, Roll?
Dr. Harvey says that Lomax and his son, Alan, traveled the southern United States collecting and preserving thousands of original songs, including some of the first ever recordings of African Americans singing original spirituals.
Oh yes, my Lord, you're the best sitting in the kingdom, do your sweet Jordan roll.
Like the Lomaxes, the editors who compiled the songs in Avery's book gathered music from all over the rural South.
But the largest part of the book was collected on the South Carolina Sea Islands, St. Helena Island, Port Royal Island, Hilton Head Island area.
But unlike the Lomaxes, who worked long after slavery had been abolished, our northern editors had to gain access to plantations during the polarizing 1860s. How did they accomplish this? As we search among the library's 5 million maps and atlases, Dr. Harvey locates something that may help answer my question.
This is a map of the Battle of Port Royal. At the beginning of the war, one of the northern strategies was to blockade important southern East Coast cities. So in November of 1861, the Union Navy sailed down into the Broad River very quickly overcame Fort Beauregard and Fort Walker on either side of the river, and within a few days had landed their troops and had taken over the entire area, including St. Helena Island.
Dr. Harvey tells me that the few hundred landowners fled the South Carolina Sea Islands the same day, freeing over 30,000 enslaved Africans. The Union Army sent over 100 teachers, missionaries, and superintendents down to the islands to set up schools and run the plantations. The project was known as the Port Royal Experiment, a groundbreaking effort to prepare the emancipated slaves for life as freedmen. Dr. Harvey thinks this experiment factored into the creation of Avery's songbook.
In fact, Charles Ware, one of the...
Now I'm ready to tell Avery what I've learned. I've arranged for him to meet me back in Washington.
See you again.
Good to see you too.
Let's go inside.
Okay.
Avery, the first thing I want to do is give the book back to you.
Well, thank you.
And it's a great story.
Is it?
Yeah, it really is. Your first question was, could this be the first book ever published of African American spirituals? And the answer to that is definitely yes.
Wow.
You know, your second question is, who these three people were that compiled these songs.
I tell Avery that the editors were all Northern abolitionists committed to preserving this valuable music.
But there's a lot more to this story.
It wasn't until Union victories drove out former plantation owners that the three abolitionists discovered a unique opportunity to achieve their goal.
The white Southerners left the area, and so abolitionist groups from the North came in to fill the void. One of the plantations was Coffin's Point at the northern end of St. Helena Island, and that's where Charles Pickard Ware was stationed, and that's where he collected many of these songs.
Ware and his two co-editors from the North had unprecedented access to the freed slaves and spent free time listening to and transcribing their songs.
It was a remote location. There were thousands of enslaved Africans there, and it was a good place to hear this music.
As a result, Slave Songs of the United States was the first scholarly work documenting the music of Africans in America.
I can't tell you how proud I am, you know, to have this book in our collection. I think my mom is smiling too.
Well, I'm so happy that you're happy, but, you know, I've got one more thing. You might wonder why I asked you to meet me here at Howard University in Washington. You want to follow me?
Okay.
Dr. Norris has arranged a private concert just for Avery, a chance for some of the pages of his book to come alive.
Among the programs and institutions created to help freed slaves after the Civil War was Howard University in Washington, D.C. In November 1866, the First Congregational Society of Washington envisioned creating a seminary to train African American clergymen. That idea soon grew into a more ambitious plan to establish an entire liberal arts university. The newly founded Freedmen's Bureau provided most of this new university's funds. Congress enacted Howard University's charter, and on March 2, 1867, President Andrew Johnson approved it. A student body arrived 2 months later. The university was named for a white general, Oliver O. Howard, a Civil War hero and commissioner of the Freedmen's Bureau. Although it educated thousands of African Americans, it wasn't until 1926 that Howard had its first black president, Dr. Mordecai Wyatt Johnson. Today, the university produces more African-American doctorates than almost any other American university. Among its notable alumni are Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, Nobel laureate and author Toni Morrison, and UN Ambassador Andrew Young.
That documentary is called The Slave Songbook, The Origin of the Negro Spiritual. Here is Roberta Martin, and God is still on the throne. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can do so by email. You can email us at gospelgold@songwriter.net. Gospelgold, one word, @songwriter.net. Gospel Gold is sponsored in part by Faith That Lives Ministry and by great listeners like you. You can be a supporter of Gospel Gold. We do have a Cash App. It starts with the $ and the words Gospel Gold, one word. Gospel Gold, the two G's are capital. Starts with the $, Gospel Gold, one word, the two G's are capital. You can be a supporter of Gospel Gold. Here is the Caravans, recorded in 1958, and I'm willing.
Thank you.
Too Close to Heaven is a documentary that was done not too long ago by Dr. Horace Boyer. It's a very well-documented documentary. If you have not had a chance to see it, I suggest you do. We're going to play just a little piece of it today. It's called Too Close to Heaven.
Has anybody ever said hallelujah?
When you hear a Mahalia Jackson or a Roberta Martin, you are hearing a beat, a style that they must have held on to from slavery days.
Black people are very, very unique in being able to express a deep emotion.
There is no sing-along among black people where they don't sing religious music. In the 1750s, a Reverend Samuel Davies had been sent to the United States by the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel in Foreign Parts, and he was down in South Carolina trying to Christianize the heathens, who were the Negroes and the Indians, as they were called at that time. He didn't have so much luck with the Native Americans. They knew this country. They didn't have to stay. The slaves were a captive audience. And in one of the letters in 1755, writing back to the society, he says, of all the books that you have sent, the ones that they, that is the slaves, have enjoyed the most are the psalms and hymns. You cannot find a music that is more personal than this, because I take a note in this kind of singing and I bend it, I hold it a long time, I cut it short, I change all the different colors in it, I make it loud, I make it soft. In other words, I express myself.
Teaching, I can take the alphabets. Let's take up the letter A. A stands for apple. Can I get a witness? B stands for bright as a morning star. C stands for counselor. D stands for doctor. E stands for emancipator. F stands for father. G stands for God of God.
Traditional African-American Christianity is a combination of what was African traditional and Euro-American Christianity. And the black church in America has sort of created a Christianity to accommodate its history in the United States with elements of its culture from Africa.
Black people sing what they live. Wherever we are, whatever we're experiencing, it comes through the music. You can almost figure out a whole chronology, how, what we're doing, what we're saying, what we're feeling. When we were slaves, we sung that heavy, burdensome song. I'm gonna take my burdens, and it was sluggish, and it had a hope line in it, to be delivered over my head. I hear trouble anywhere. And the hymn song said, I'm learning to read and write. And so they picked up the European hymn book and began to sing what they could read.
Brother, you ought to be there. You hear like them in there.
You were
there. I do hear dirt and rope.
Oh, you say rope.
I wrote a dirt and rope. I wrote a rope. I wrote a dirt and rope. I wrote a dirt and rope.
I want to go to heaven when I die.
I do hear dirt and rope.
Oh, you can say rope.
I wrote a dirt and rope.
I wrote a dirt.
I wanna go to heaven when I die.
I do hear dirt and rope.
The Negro spirituals were religious, but I suspect only 50 or 60% so. They were dealing basically with social significance. They were commentary. They were like a Greek chorus in Aeschylus. They commented on their lives. They commented on society. They commented on the big man boss in terms which the overseer could not interpret. But, for example, one of the saddest spirituals I know is this. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Now listen, chariot, swing low. When you look at slave sermons and Negro spirituals, you find three modes of travel. One was a gospel train. One was a gospel ship and a chariot. Chariot was reserved for nobility and the military. But here is a slave saying, swing low, sweet chariot. How are we going to get the lowest dregs of society into the highest form of transportation? Well, I'll show you. The verse goes, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home, a band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Now, what is Jordan? It's a symbol of death. So even though Swing Low, Sweet Chariot is a beautiful song, it's a song about dying. And this, of course, nobody understands but the people who are singing.
When I get to heaven on a swinging top, nobody there can turn me out. When I get to heaven, gonna put on a suit, walk around in glory, yes, where's a new bottle to swing down.
When you read descriptions of this music and the body movements that accompany it, do you know that it's described as wild, savage, unintelligible? And yet they found out one thing. If you permitted these slaves to sing as they worked, they were less troubled. They didn't fight back as hard. And number two, you got more work done because it was kind of synchronized. And when you have 25 people lifting, that's better than having five people lift five different times. And you found that you had a happier group. As a matter of fact, it got to the point that singing was encouraged. Now, that's on the side of the slave owner. On the side of the slave, the day is over and you haven't thought about it. Because as you were working, you heard somebody over there say, have you got good religion? And this group over here said, certainly, Lord. Have you got good religion? Certainly, Lord. Have you got good religion? Certainly, Lord. Certainly, 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 Lord. Now, if you can sing that and think about this unseen God is going to get me through this day somehow, you don't hurt quite so much when the cotton tricks your hand.
Nobody knows the trouble I see.
Now, I want you to listen to the number of notes that I play. B, D, E, G, A, B, 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 D, E, G, A, B, 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 B. Do you know how many different notes I use? Five. The same five notes that are used in this song, although this is not an African-American song. They call it pentatonic. There are only five tones, and nobody ever gets to hear, was blind, for example, this song ends, was blind, but now I see, instead of was blind, but now I. This note isn't in there, nor is it, amazing grace, how sweet. We don't have that note. We don't need them, because it's not the number of notes that makes the difference. It's how we use the notes that we use and in which ways traditional and cultural among African Americans to speak from the back of the throat, such as I am doing now, using the fatty tissues of the mouth for resonance. Now that's African. That's going to give a particular sound to the singing. What is the opposite? The opposite is the European style of speaking, which places the tone in the front of the face, and so you get the tone being produced here. Most black Americans do not speak there unless they're James Earl Jones. So if you were to sing, say like in a song like America,
my country tis of thee,
as opposed to my country tis of thee. Do you notice the difference in where I'm placing it? The other is the rhythmic accent. Instead of a legato, as it's called, a smooth delivery of these words, they are punctured by the rhythmic accentuation of African and African-American speech. The other element, of course, is the rapid and prolonged delivery, which is part of colloquial speaking. And then I suppose the fourth element is the matter of personalizing something so that even if the note said, I'm too close, you'd go, I'm too close, finding yourself in it. When you put this together with a leader who will do the call and a congregation who will do the response, you come up with the elements of gospel. Now, strangely, I've also identified the elements of soul music. But then soul has as its major element gospel.
That documentary is called Too Close to Heaven. The narrator is Dr. Horace Boyer. Well, church, our time is about up. We hope you have enjoyed our program tonight. Don't forget to go to the Gospel Gold Facebook page, like, and then share so others will know that Gospel Gold is on the air. If you would like to reach us through email, our email is gospelgold@songwriter.net. If you would like to be a supporter of Gospel Gold, our Cash App starts with the $ Gospel Gold, one word, the two G's are capital. We pray that you have a good week. We're going to take a week off for much needed rest and relaxation. We're going to come back May the 3rd with another brand new edition of Gospel Gold. We're going home tonight with Roberta Martin Singers, and Jesus will hear your prayer.
You pray.